Hey kiddos, if you don't learn something about God, you tell me, okay? This is not babysitting, and I know Tanya will teach you. Why are they taking the Kleenex? Oh. Never mind. Father, we love you. We seek you. We hunger and thirst after you. Let your mind be revealed today. That's what we really want, is your mind to be revealed. That's our life source. That's our hope. That's why we showed up today. Let it be so in Jesus' name. Amen. Alrighty, I'm going to go through the first part quickly so that I can get to what I really want to talk about. I wish everybody thought ahead of me and I wouldn't have to go through. Anyway, in the last few days, weeks, months, we've been like most churches, families, we've had a few problems. Everybody know that? Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about problems, how to deal with them, and then we're going to get into some real meaty stuff because you already know about all this other. But we're going to deal with them anyway. There are problems. There always will be. That's what the Bible promises you. There will always be problems to deal with. But it gives you specific ways to handle all problems. The way we handle problems that come our way, now listen to me, the way we handle these problems reveals our spiritual position. Everybody knows the famous scripture, the infamous, that we'll know each other by the fruits. That we can actually look at fruits and see. Well, I'm telling you one right here. You can tell people's spiritual position by how they handle problems. You can tell where their heads or tails. You can tell where they're like Christ or not like Christ. You can tell where they're mature or immature. Let me hit a basic for you. You know this scripture, Genesis 2:16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die. What am I saying here? God gives us a tremendous amount of rope, room. We can walk in all kinds of abundance, but there's some things we do not touch. And we do not let them touch us. Because it says the day that you touch it, the day you eat it, you will die. Or you'll enter into the death that came to you. You understand that? You tie a live body to a dead body, the dead body will always win. It will consume the live body. We all know some basic things. Like we know we're not to sin. We know we're not to lie. Everybody knows that there's no such thing as little white lies. There's no such thing as the end justifies the means. That I can go ahead and fill in a few extra blanks to close the deal, even if they don't exist. I can agree to some things, just sign on the line. No. That's a lie. You can't steal. If you lie, you will steal. If you steal, you will lie. If you lie, you will steal. I'm sorry. It's just the way it is. You're not to commit adultery. Physically, you're not to have any other gods before the only one true God. No adultery. None. Zero. Not with your eyes, not with your heart, not with your hands, not with your mind, not with anything. No fantasies. No adultery. No murder. No murder. Killing is okay. No murder. You cipher that out. No deceiving of any kind. No deceiving of any kind because it's lying. No smiley church face with a dirty heart. And no gossip and no slander. No gossip and no slander. That's out or in. No gossip and no slander. Because that equals to an uncovering or an exposing. Now listen, I'm going to cover something right here. If you know that I have a wart on my big toe, and you gossip about it, it's still gossip even if it's the truth. Because it's of no profit to you, it's of no profit to me, but it's an exposing of me that was unnecessary. Okay? It's all right to talk truth when it's absolutely life-giving. But you don't go there if it's idle conversation. The Bible says you will answer for every idle word that you speak. What's idle? That's burning up a lot of gas and not getting anywhere. Making a whole lot of fumes for absolutely no reason. That's what idle conversation is. You don't say it unless it's a seed for the future. All right. Now I'm going to read you some quick scriptures. Now this is not the gist of my message, I'm telling you. We're going to get over the basics so that we can get down to some real truth here. If you want to write these scriptures down, I'm going to go through them fast enough so we don't stay here till 2. Numbers 16:26. Numbers 16:26. And he spoke unto the congregation, saying, Depart, I pray you, from tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all of their sins. Now you remember I said that you can tell a person's spiritual condition by how they handle problems, how they speak about problems. If you know this is a wicked or an evil man, don't touch them, don't touch their stuff, get away, or their sin will enter into you. 2 Corinthians 6:17-18. Therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. And I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. What is that saying? It is not talking about murder. It's talking about anything that's not giving life. Because death is unclean. If it's creating doubt, if it's hurting faith, if it's exposing a person that you didn't have the right to expose, and that's pretty much everybody, there are some provisions in the Bible when to expose, and I'm telling you that's left to the elders of the church. It says, if you will honor these things, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. That sounds like a good deal. Leviticus 18:6. None of you shall approach anyone who is near of kin to him to uncover his nakedness. Do not expose, especially those that are close to you. Under any conditions, do not expose them. You cover them. Psalms 91:4-5. This is speaking of God, but we're in His likeness and image. Is that not correct? All right, listen. Psalms 91:4-5. He shall cover you with His feathers. So what is your job? To cover. And under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid. You shall not be afraid. Truth sometimes shakes us, but it never causes us to be afraid if we're covered properly. Okay. Psalms 109:29. Let my accusers be clothed with shame, and let them cover themselves with their own disgrace as with a mantle. What is this scripture saying? I'm telling you, there's a lot more. I didn't have time to give you all of them. But when people begin to uncover other people, they become ashamed. They become an insult to God, and they will be clothed with that insanity, that shame. Let me say it another way. If I begin to expose an innocent person or a guilty person against the will of God, I become exposed. Those people that know God find out very quickly that this is a very immature person, or it's a sinner, or it's one that's out to murder, kill, steal, and destroy. Please, people of God, open your eyes. when somebody comes to you, even if it's the gospel truth and they tell you that to hurt somebody, they're exposed as a sinner. Do not touch them or you'll take on the sin. That's what the Bible's saying. Is this making sense? It's quiet. Is it? All right. Habakkuk 2:14. And the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Now I'm going to read this to you again. As the waters cover the sea. As the waters cover the sea. As the waters cover the sea. See, there's a depth here we need to think about. What we see is water. What is underneath is the sea. You know, when we get out there in Cozumel, when you stand up in the hotel, sometimes you can look right down in that water and sometimes you can't. Depends on how the water stirs, where the sun is. But what you see on the surface is water. All the rest is sea. The water covers the sea. It's one, but it's covering. All right. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, and this will cause the waters to cover the sea. When you are filled with the knowledge of the Lord, you will begin to be a covering for what's under. You will not expose. Does that make sense to you? All right. I want to deal with what true headship and covering is. I believe God's given me an insight that I've never had before. What true headship and covering is. I will also warn you that truth will always expose false. We need to consider it in our own ways. We need to consider it in those that speak to us. Here's the warning. I want you to write this down, Isaiah 30, verse 1. If you want to check me out, you're welcome to turn there. It's the New King James Version. The King James is going to be nearly exactly the same. Isaiah 30, verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel, but not of me, and who devise plans, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. The warning here, if you don't seek wise counsel, if you don't seek God and how you speak and how you reveal and who you speak about and how you speak of them, it says you devise plans, you speak, but you don't speak in and of the Spirit. Therefore, sin is added to sin. One right after the other, you're sinning and it's stacking up. You're planting seed and the harvest will come. You're being exposed and you don't even know it. Because it says, woe to the rebellious children. Headship and covering is revealed through life experiences. You can call somebody a covering. You can call them the head. But only time will prove if it's true or not. What did I say at the beginning? You'll know truth. You'll know those headships. You'll know if you're covered or somebody's trying to cover you by how people handle problems. Do they go for the jugular vein? Or are they trying to stop the bleeding? It's just that simple. Was the idea to build up or to destroy? If it's to destroy, rebellious children, the plan is not God. If you take it wrong, you're a rebellious child, you're not of God, you need to get your life straight. We're going to run into problems in the church. What kind of problems? We're going to have people disappoint us. Now, I will never disappoint anybody, but I know you will. Now, come on, that's the first thought that comes in everybody's mind. We are going to disappoint someone. That is a given as long as we're in this flesh. Now, how we treat each other during those times shows us whether we're a family, shows us whether we're rebellious children or children that obey God, shows us where we're after to destroy somebody or build them up, where we're honoring them or dishonoring them. Have you got all this picture? Because now we're fixing to get into what I want to talk about. One more verse, one more scripture. 1 Corinthians 11. Well, this is going to be a long one. You may need to turn there with me because I'm going to refer back to it. 1 Corinthians 11, and I'm going to read you 16 verses. It's a complicated one, and yet it's so simple. And I'm going to make it simple to you this morning. It's one that, women especially, it's one that can be used against you unless you listen to me today. And I'm going to reveal to you how it will not and cannot be used against you. Headship and covering is revealed through life experiences. 1 Corinthians 11, 1 through 16. This is Paul speaking as the head of a number of churches, but speaking to a church as their covering. Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. This is called headship. You just found the formula of headship. Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. If a man wants to be a head, there's his formula. And there is none other. Second verse. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Y'all familiar with that? All right, let's go on. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. Now here comes the false traditions of the little beanie caps. Whatever bonnets men decide to wear to fulfill this scripture. Can I tell you something? What did the verse right before this say? But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of every man is Christ. Y'all got that? Christ is a covering. Jesus Christ is a covering. Drop down. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. Well, wait a minute, Stan. You just said he had to have a covering. And now it says if it's covered... Now, see, you didn't understand. It means any covering but Jesus Christ. It means if you have any title, any authority, any belief, any position that's not covered or given by Christ Jesus, you are an insult to God. Men, are you hearing me? What would be a false covering? I'm the man, so you obey me. That's a false covering. What did Paul first say? Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. The only headship a man has is when he's imitating Christ. He's covered by Jesus Christ. And if he's not that, he is not. If he's not covered in everything he says by Jesus Christ, he's not the head. If everything he does is not ordained by the Word of God and Jesus Christ, now I'm talking about everything. I'm talking about generally speaking. I'm not talking about whether you got long toenails or not. Let's get real here. This is life and death. Then a man that stands up and says, woman, you will obey me because I am man, his head is now his gender. I would be more frank, but I'll leave it at that. I know you've all heard thinking of the little head instead of the big. Now I'm telling you what that really means, spiritually speaking. It means that you're thinking with your gender instead of the big head, Jesus Christ. That's what it means. All right, let's go on. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered, dishonors her head. For that is one and the same as if her head were shaved. Now you're going to have to look at this scripture just exactly the way I looked at the one before. Uncovered means you did not take your covered husband as a covering. And you come with your head uncovered. How? What does that mean? That means, I don't need no stinking man. I don't need nothing. It's just me and Jesus. Praise Jesus. They forgot to read the Bible. When you get to heaven, that's promised to be the truth. In heaven, there's no gender. Right? There's no male or female. So you got a promise. But you got a job description as long as it's on this earth. See, it's very easy for the normal household to look and say the pastor's head of the church. But it's so difficult for the wife to look at the husband and say, you're the head of this house. What's the problem? I don't understand what the difference is. If you love that man that's called your husband, it ought to be easier, not harder. Now, let's keep things in order. Christ is the head of man. How many of you know that we don't even need to talk about God being the head of Christ, that He's going to be obedient? That Jesus, no, without question, has proven Himself. So let's don't even go there. We already know that. So it's man. You, me, man, male. Oh, we have to be under the authority of Jesus Christ. Or there ain't no... Oh. The only guy that's got the right to beat his chest is Paul. And like Paul, who says, imitate me as I imitate Jesus. Boy, he can beat his chest. He can yell at the wind and it stops. He can command and it obeys. And the woman says, that's my man. I want him to be covered, my covering. But if the first communication is broken, then we'll get to the other. What do I do? Let's go on. Now let me read the rest of this because it's always incorporated in. For if a woman is not covered, let her be also shorn. It means that if you don't have a husband that's covering you, shave your head and show everybody. Anybody volunteering? I hope not. But it is shameful for a woman to be shorn or shaved. Let her be covered. Well, that takes care of all these women. They're shaving their head, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Come on, don't argue with the Bible. Women, you don't have the right to shave your head because it's making a statement that you don't want to make. Now, I'm not into long hair, short hair. I said, don't shave your head. That's all I said. Well, I didn't say it. I repeated it here. By the way, in this particular instance, if she shaves her head, she's asking somebody to cover her. Did you see that? If she shaves her head, let her be covered. And maybe if she's not asking for it, it's telling the men to do it anyway. Move in there and step up to your obligations. Verse 7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God. Now, it didn't say the image and glory of Jesus. It said the image and glory of God. See, God is the only one that has no covering. It doesn't say we should not have a covering. It said we should be in His image by having a covering of Jesus Christ. Understand what I'm saying? Somebody yell if you don't understand what I'm saying. But woman is the glory of man. Now, for all you big bad guys, we are the bride of Christ. So don't look down on women saying, you're the glory of me, until you can say, I'm the glory of somebody else. You don't have the right to do that. If you're the glory of God, then it has to be by lifestyle, not by gender, power. You cannot be the head by gender power. You have to do it by worshiping and serving, and it's shown in lifestyle. You actually become a covering of someone. Listen to me. You know a man has the likeness and image of God when he reaches out to cover somebody and not uncover them. I want you to get that. You know that a man is serving. He's in the image. He's covered by Jesus when his whole desire is to cover someone else. It's not for self-edification. It's not for exalting his own power. It's not even for exhibiting his own power. His whole goal in life is to cover someone else. Isn't that what Jesus did? Come down here to cover our sins. Not to expose them, but to hide them, wash them away, cover them. Up until that point, God covered them with other blood. Even God the Father covered our sins, remember, through sacrifices. And the sacrifice came and Jesus, with His life, covered our death. Right? So if you want to say, Jesus is my covering. Well, let's see you give your life for somebody. Let's see you cover for a change. Not yourself, not your own backside, but somebody else's. For man is not from woman, but woman from man. You can help me remember that every time the woman is used there, it is speaking of gender, but spiritually speaking, it's speaking of the bride of Christ, which is everybody. We're not from anyone but Jesus as Christians. All right. Nor was man created for the woman, but woman for the man. Man, I wish I could speak to the world about this and let the feminist understand that man wasn't created for woman. Man wasn't created for woman. Jesus wasn't created for man. Man wasn't created for woman. Jesus was used by the Father because He volunteered, not ordered, not commanded. Y'all can do this if you agree. You can do this if you disagree. All right. For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. Now, if you'll turn to your concordance real quick, and I know you all carry that 40-pound thing. Angels means messenger or pastor. So I'm going to tell you that this is referring to the headship that I referred to a while ago, which is if you see a woman shorn, cover her. Now listen to me, I want you to get this. Leadership of the church, if there's a woman that is uncovered, you better become her covering. You better step up to the plate and be what Jesus would be to that woman. And by the way, that can be a man too. Men, we have men coming in here uncovered. They don't know who their covering is. Step up to the plate. Let's become the covering. Nevertheless, neither is man independent of woman, nor woman independent of man in the Lord. For as a woman came from man, even so man also comes through woman. But all things are from God. Verse 13. Judge among yourselves. Come on, use your brains. That's what Paul's saying. Use your brains for a change. Stop obeying the law and use your mind that God gave you. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Boy, there's a question that we could talk about for about a week. Now let me tell you, the answer is no. That's what Paul's getting at. That's why he said, use your brains. Is it proper? No. Well, God, whew. See, the first thing that's thought of, especially by women, is, but I don't have a husband, or I don't have a husband that's a Christian, or I don't, whatever. We'll get to it. It's covered. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? I'll ask you the same thing about a man. Is it proper for a man to pray directly to God? It says that his head is Jesus. So he should go to Jesus. And if he's not covered by the blood of Jesus, it is improper for him to pray. Therefore, the eldership of the church needs to become his covering until he can learn where the true covering is. If that be the case, so be to women. If for some reason they don't have a husband, if for some reason their husband's not obedient to God, the eldership of the church must become their covering or they cannot pray. That's, at least one person's looking at me odd. They're honest. I'm trying to put a burden back on the church. I'm trying to take some burden off of law. What you really saying, Stan? I'm saying that anybody that tries to pray without a covering is illegal. Anyone, any gender, anybody. Because nobody is going directly to the Father without going through the Son. Y'all all know that, right? That takes care of man, woman, or beast praying to God directly without having the proper covering. So really, in essence, I'm saying there's no difference between man and woman in this area. Except governmentally. Governmentally, the headship must be in place. See, you guys will look at me funny when I'm saying this, but you'll understand it clearly if I talk about children. If we talk about this, children, do they have the right to go straight to the superintendent of the school, or do they need to go through their teacher first? Pretty easy, simple, right? That's called governmental. It's called showing honor where honor should be. And this is established by God, so we know it's honorable. Verse 14. Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him? Now, understand this. We're talking to Paul is speaking here, and he's speaking in an era where there weren't barber shops. There were sheep shears. Handmade, hand sharpened sheep shears. So let's keep it in mind that this is not what he was talking about. The difference between me and Barry is long hair. That's not what he's talking about. Not what he's talking about. He's talking about women that are trying to look like men. Long ponytails. Yuck. Fancy hairdos. I've seen hairdos that weren't so long that made a guy look effeminate. Men don't try to look like women. That's a fool. I'm sorry. I got bad reactions in this. We were in a line the other day. My wife was in front of me. I wasn't paying attention to who was in front of her. Something dropped. Did you drive something? And I don't know what he said something. He had a big, that kind of voice. And it just caught my attention as he went down to get it. And I mean, my reaction, this guy was just as flaming a queer as he could be. And that's a derogatory term because that's the way I'm going to speak about homosexuals. I'll speak the way God does. It makes him ill. And instantly, man, I'm going, don't touch that. That guy touched that. Did not do that. I mean, it was just instantaneous. I even nearly embarrassed myself saying it so loud they could hear it. That's right. I nearly ran over you trying to get away from it. It stinks. It's a foul smell in God's nostrils. It must be in mine. I'll not tolerate it. I'll not have anything to do with it. And this is one area especially. I don't have to, by the way, I don't have to expose him. It's written all over him. I didn't have to ask him for his credentials. This is when sin is added on top of sin, you become more exposed to everybody that's got a mind. You don't have to look for the left or right earring. Whatever that means, I don't even know which one it means. I don't know. I don't have to look for anything. There's a smell, I don't know how to call it. I don't know what to call it. You can, especially a man on a man, you ought to be able to tell 100 miles off. Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it's a dishonor to him? Oh, by the way, this guy didn't have long hair. In fact, he had pretty short hair. He was still exposed. But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. What is this saying? This is a symbol of where she's supposed to be spiritually. That's all it's saying. Women, you have longer hair than men, and it's a symbol that you are covered. If you are not covered, shave your head and expose it. Let somebody take you. Let somebody cover you, pray for you, shield you, so that your hair can grow back and you'll be back. Now, please, I don't want anybody coming next Sunday with a bald head, any of you women. Don't do that. You just tell me. I'd rather, just tell me. It's a lot more pleasing. Verse 16. Now listen to this. If you got your Bible, look. But if anyone seems to be contentious, we have no such custom, nor do the churches of God. Come on, what is this talking about? What is this talking about? But if anyone seems to be contentious, we have no such custom, nor do the churches of God. Exactly what I just got through saying. One thing, don't come up here with your head shaved Sunday, next Sunday. If it causes contention, if you want to argue and fuss about it, if you want to fight, it's doing the opposite of covering. And we're not going to enforce it. Paul is actually doing exactly what he said to begin with. I'm going to mind Jesus Christ. I'm going to be like Jesus Christ. This is what I think is best, Dana. But by the way, if that causes you too much problem, don't worry about it. That's the way Jesus, that's the way Paul, we become a covering. In other words, law causes you must do it whether you want to or not. You must. The first covering of Jesus Christ is free will. It's the first covering of Jesus Christ. Free will. I'm going to tell you what's best, Jesus says, and then I'm going to let you do what you want to do. And I'm not going to have them write these laws. We have no such custom, nor do the churches of God. It's not going to be written in our church's manuals. It's not going to be done. Isn't that cool? It gives me goosebumps. Think about after Paul gets up there and does that. He just says, by the way, if it causes you too much problem, I've spoken the truth. Truth will set you free. Don't you worry about it. Don't you worry about it at all. I'll cover you anyway, Paul is saying. I'll cover you anyway. I like that. The key verse, verse 3, but I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of woman is man. The head of Christ is God. Now, we're going to get to the meat. Y'all ready for the meat of this thing? All right. Women, men. What is headship? Headship, covering, is what Jesus is to me. It's that simple. It's what Jesus is to me. Therefore, it's what I must be to her. I'm required. Whatever Jesus... Guys, are you listening to me? Because I'm going to hit you harder than the women. Whatever Jesus is to me, I must be to her. And if it's not that way, I'm not her head. And I don't have any right to claim to be. Husbands, men, we all got this down. Here's what Jesus is to us. I'm her Lord. I'm her master. I'm her chastiser. I'm her king. Because that's what Jesus is to me, right? I am the anointed one. I'm the father of this house. See how easy that is, guys? You will obey me. Y'all, all men got that one down, right? We got that one down good. Oh, yeah, that's what Jesus is to me. And so therefore, that's what I am to you. What about the rest of the story? What about the rest of that story? Isn't it amazing when there's marital problems how those men whip out those swords? Especially those few right there. Or you bow to me. You kiss my feet. Come on. Let's go. That is the truth, but let's get what I wrote down here is deeper. Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my Savior. He's my healer. He's my provider. Oh, here's a good one. He's my advocate. I must be to her what Jesus is to me, right? Come on. He's my advocate. He's my friend. Guys, are you friends to your wives? You tell them the truth when necessary. You tell them the truth when it's not necessary. What do I mean by that? Do you tell them when it's not necessary that you love them? And how pretty they are? How smart they are? Like Jesus does to you? How valuable they are. Jesus is intimate with me. Husbands, are you intimate the way Jesus is? Maybe that's the problem with your marriage. You're as intimate with your wife as you are with Jesus. Jesus is my lover. I am the bride of Christ. You know that? I am the bride of Christ. Well, I tell you what, Jesus just don't quit. He just never gets enough of me. Come on. Jesus don't ever get enough of me. Are you to your wife what Jesus is to you? Maybe that's one of the problems. You know what Jesus is to me? He's the innocent one. He never is guilty of wrongdoing. He's never guilty of greed or wanting to take advantage. He's always innocent. What He says to me, it's out of love, not out of position. He never speaks to me as King and Lord. He speaks to me as a friend and a husband. Come on, husbands, you like this one? If you know somebody's got some marital problems, get this tape and give it to them. I'm not saying that all women are good. I'm saying maybe they're bad because you're bad.
That's right.
You know, wouldn't it be cool, guys, if we could just look at Jesus and say, it's all your fault? Wouldn't it be cool, women, you need to pull your toes back just a little, but wouldn't it be cool if we could just look and say, you know, I've done everything right. It's got to be you, Jesus. It won't fly. It won't fly, husband and wife. It won't fly, husband and wife.
Right.
Whether it's vertical or horizontal, it's not going to fly. If you got problems in your marriage, you better look to where it's at, and you won't have to look very far. Try the mirror. See, the one advantage that I know that when a woman is covered by her husband, even when he's being the fool, and once in a while, y'all do that, you know. Even when he's being the fool, they can pray and they're heard. And then there's a higher covering, higher than the husband. It's called the husband vertically, that comes in and grabs his bride, and then he becomes the Lord and Master. And he says, wife of mine, stand, you will and you won't, whatever necessary. Okay? By the way, Jesus, the innocent one, He never sheds any blood but His own. Jesus, the innocent one, my friend, my lover, never sheds blood except His own. When Jesus, the innocent one, looked and saw His bride full of sin, He shed His blood to make correction. What I'm describing to you is Christ and like Christ. Okay? Those that are covered by Christ are like Christ. It says in the image of God, right? So I'm going to tell you that those that aren't in this image are anti-Christ. If you're not your bride's protector, you're anti-Christ. If you are the one that exposes her, you are Antichrist. My husband, Jesus, is my covering. And you know what else He is? He's my coverer. He Himself is my covering, and yet His whole goal is to be my coverer. And if we're going to be the coverings to our wives, we got to be this. We got to be their shield and their buckler. Jesus is my husband. The wife must say, He's my husband if she's to be covered. Now, if he's not being a husband, by the way, a husband is a qualification. It is not a person. Are you hearing me? In our law, we say, I take this goof to be my husband, knowing he's going to goof up because you're speaking to the person. But in Christianity, you take the very personage, the very essence of Jesus Christ, which is His whole being, the way He lives and moves and has His being. You're taking that as a husband. Not as a title. You understand the title never does you any good? It has to be the power. Jesus is my friend. He's my counselor. Husbands, are you being to your wife what Jesus is being to you? The counselor? That's not counseling. That's all right to get up and say, this is what we're going to do. But you don't have to yell and scream and threaten violence or any garbage like that. And I tell you what, you can do that as often as Jesus does it to you. You have His and my permission. You know what else He is? You know what Jesus is? He is a conversationalist. Now you will excuse me, but Jesus has an opinion about everything. And so must the husband. He's not called to be a wimp. Jesus was never called to be a wimp. The husband's not called to be a wimp. Now an opinion, Patrick, is not to fight for. An opinion is what Paul laid out there. This is what I believe to be correct. And leave it alone. Don't get a bigger hammer. Just do whatever it takes. If it's a righteous opinion, you stand. The Bible says, when you've done all you can do to stand, stand. It don't mean give in to your wife because she disagrees. But it also don't mean to expose her in public as all of us men have to learn some more about this one. A lot more. He's a conversationalist. He likes to talk about the silliest things. How many of y'all know that about Jesus? That He talks about some little bitty things. Y'all don't know that? You don't spend much time talking to Him then, because He'll take you off, talk about stars, ants. He'll talk about all kinds of strange things. He will. Now, men, I don't know how far we're going to go with this. I don't even know how we're going to break out of this. Women like the 400-page version. Men like the Reader's Digest version. It's a fact of life. Somewhere there has to be a meeting in the middle. Women, somewhere there has to be a meeting in the middle. I know that psychologists, the world's economy tells you that, men, you just got to give undivided attention to your wife. Well, there's only so many hours in a day, guys. Sometime you've got to change the direction of the conversation if you ever want to get anything done. Come on. Sometimes you've got to tell your wife, don't talk so much. Sometimes you've got to tell yourself, talk a little more. A husband is a secret keeper. How many of you have told Jesus secrets and had Him blare it out over the PA system? Never once. So that we know He's not an exposer. He's a coverer. And you know what? And some of you have had some pretty dirty things to tell Him. I know that. It doesn't make any difference how dirty you think it is. He doesn't run up on the street corner or to the next door neighbor and say, you know what she just told me? It does not happen. You don't go down to the corner bar and share it. And more than that, you don't call a psychiatrist or psychologist and share it. Men, the only counselor that you ever need is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now there's provisions that when you kind of hit a wall and you don't know what's going on, you can go to another man. But you cannot go to another woman. That's back door. And I don't care what the title says on the door. Can I tell you why, guys? Women, so you'll know that I'm not just against women. Because you all know this, that women don't understand men, and men don't understand women. You can be to them what they need to be, and you will never understand it. My wife talks to me. She tells me what she doesn't tell me what I need to know. She talks and expects me to know what I need to know. I'm supposed to fill in the blanks and know all the answers. Now, she can talk about 10,000 other things that don't amount to anything, and then she'd get aggravated at me if I didn't understand the major part of it. Come on, y'all not saying, just take your guilt. Come on. I do that to you all the time. I say, whoa. Come on, guys, don't you do that? They start talking to you going, huh? Because there was some major portion left out there. And when you refer back to it, didn't I tell you that? Now, what do the men do? They say three words and expect you to understand 10,000. So there has to be a meeting here somewhere. You're never going to understand men why they do that, and women, you're never going to understand why men do that. But you understand that it's God's plan. It's called a partnership, and it makes things work. And it is holy, and it is righteous, and it is pure. If everything's in order. It is not contention beyond bearing. It is never that. If the husband is covered by Jesus Christ, the wife will be covered by the husband. There's still things that have to be worked out. And you'll do it because you love each other, because you honor God the Father, not because some divorce or lack of their decree, lack of a divorce decree. My Jesus is an instructor. You know what else He is? He's an encourager. You know that I never have Jesus come in and say, why do you act so stupid? And yet I've heard husbands say that to their wives, and wives say it to their husbands. The best response to that is, maybe it's who I'm hanging around with. The best response either party can have, if one degrades the other one, just say, maybe it's who I'm hanging around with. Diffuse it, get over it, and let's try it again. Old Archie Bunker called his wife a dingbat. Oh, he did it in a loving manner. He didn't mean any harm by it. You know, one of the things that we forget that's our responsibility is how other people perceive us. I remember one time that, and my wife knows, doesn't mean I don't need to change it, but I said something to Connie. I said, woman? She said, woman? What are you calling her? I said, well, I'm calling her what God told me to call her. Woman. Isn't that what He did? Now, maybe I still need to change that if it's going to create a negative response. I'm totally right. But what difference does it make if I'm totally right if I cause somebody to stumble? Do I care about what she thinks? Well, yes and no. If it's just a matter of opinion, no, I don't care. But if it would cause her to stumble, I very much care. That's what Jesus would tell you. Husbands are encouragers. Jesus is a builder. He's not a tearer downer.
That's right.
He builds up. He doesn't tear down. He's the truthful one. He doesn't tell his wife lies to make her happy.
Right.
You know what he doesn't do? He doesn't read a book so he'll know how to talk. Jesus never read a book to learn how to talk to you and I. He doesn't call up Dr. Hukuhuo and ask him opinions. He speaks to Jesus Christ, his husband, and says, something's not right here, what can I do? And most of the time, Jesus, you know what? Here's another thing he doesn't do. Jesus doesn't come and say, Tana, I think I'm screwing up. What would you suggest that I do better? Ooh, that got quiet. If I want to know an answer, I don't ask the one that I've offended. I ask the one that's the healer. And then I become the healer. He's the truthful one. If he forgets his anniversary, he don't make up excuses that I've been so busy. He just says, I forgot it. I'm sorry. And then the woman has to deal with it. And getting mad is not the way. He's the honest one. There's nothing up his sleeve. He's the open one. Nothing hidden. No agenda. Jesus does not... This really helped me. Jesus does not have an agenda. Whatever he does, it's for me and the kingdom. He has to please the Father too. So he can't just do anything he wants. But he's doing it for me and the kingdom. And I'm satisfied with that. If the wife has perfect trust, listen to me, if the wife has trust in the husband, that everything he does is for the marriage, she has nothing else to worry about. I didn't say he would do it right. I said she has nothing else to worry about. But if the truth is not there, the honesty is not there, and the openness is not there, how do you know what he's doing? How can you trust him? If everything he's doing is for himself, don't trust him. He's not doing it for you in the marriage. Jesus is the caretaker of God's gift and anointings. If you began, husbands, if you began, and let's just say this is what Jesus does. Jesus begins to see an anointing and a calling in his bride. He begins to pull it out, not suppress it. He doesn't get, you know, Jesus never gets intimidated by your calling. In fact, he draws on it. He wants it to be exposed. The Bible says he even makes room for the gifting and the calling. That's what a husband does. He doesn't say, Jesus is an impregnator. Go get him, husbands. But you know what? Jesus is an impregnator of life and word. He's a cleanser. And by the way, that's our instructions. Right, Harry? We wash them with the Word of God. We wash them with the Word. Even in our instructive positions, washed with the Word. Even in our discipline positions, that's one of our positions. We must discipline. Because our husband does that. He does it with the Word. We must do it with the Word. No fights. No calling names. It has to be with the Word. He causes growth. He does not stop growth. Here's a good one. Listen to me. When Jesus visits you, he increases your faith and your stability. And so when I visit my wife, it's to increase her faith and her stability. I am not to make her feel bad about the world. I am not to I'm not to allow her to look down at things. Jesus is the lifter of my head. That when my wife is looking down, it is my job to lift her head up. It's not to go in there where she's at. It's to say, we're not going to go there. Now, we do that with the Word. We do it by increasing faith. We do it by prayer. But we do it. Why do you keep saying these things? Because I want you to compare some people you know. Especially the macho ones that come and talk about covenant when they don't even know what it is. They talk about covering. They talk about headship. You know what? You know what? If you don't fulfill the things, husbands, by the way, women are heads, they're headship over children too, by the way. So there's still another layer. But I'm telling you this, husbands, men of God, loosely speaking, if you don't take on the image of Christ, if you don't become that head, you're an ass. And that's the two categories. There's your title for the tape if you want. Are you a head or an ass? I don't know that I'd put it on there, but yeah. Are you hearing me? There's only two things. You're going to be the one that builds up. You're going to be the one that lifts up and encourages. Are you going to be the one that drags down? You're going to be the thief. You're going to look just like Satan. You're going to act like him. He's not only an increaser of faith, but he's an increaser of vision. He's the one that points and says, far beyond all expectations, every time the wife gets downtrodden. Oh, you don't understand. You don't understand how God is. Let me remind you of how good God is and how much bigger He thinks than you and I and how much further He looks. And so what if it's a little tight right now or it looks bad? You don't understand. Look what's going to happen. And you begin to speak about things that God, that Jesus would speak to you if you'd spend some time with Him. Nearly through. Are you like Jesus, which is the head? Are you like Satan, which is an ass? Are you like Christ, which means you're on God's people's side? I'm asking you pointedly a question now. Are you on the side of God's people? That's those that have proven they're God's people, not just those that say they're God's people. Are you like the Antichrist, wanting to destroy God's people and wanting to listen about the destruction of God's people? Now I'm going to make one statement here, and this is the period to the end of the sentence I've tried to make. I am a man. Remember, Jesus is the head of man. I am a man. Anybody says any difference, a liar and they're a fool. I am a man. I am the head of this body. You hearing me? I am the head of this body. It's taken me a long time to say that, but I am the head of this body. I'm saying that because God's forcing me to say that. Jesus is my head. The only one that knows that for sure is her. Is that the truth or is it not the truth? She knows. Nobody else. She must know. She must know. I've warned her not to lie, so I'd feel a whole lot better if she just said, I don't think so, than lie. Jesus is my head. All in this body are under my headship. It's by your choice, not by my demand. But by your choice, you can be under my headship and the leadership of this church headship. Now this is very important that you hear this because it covers all the loopholes that we read in the last 16 verses. It covers every loophole there. There's not one place that the devil can enter in if you can understand that whether you're husband, wife, it doesn't make any difference who. You're a widow or whatever. You're covered under that headship if you understand what I'm saying here. And you can go directly to the Father and pray no matter what condition. Then it falls back onto the individual. Falls back on the individual whether they're covered by Jesus Christ or not. Not your husband. I mean, it's your husband, your wife, whoever. Because you cannot make people be to Christ what they're supposed to be. You cannot make that. And you have to accept the fact that some of these people that call themselves covered by Jesus Christ are going to show up at the judgment day and He's going to say to them, depart from me, we never had an intimate relationship. I did not know you. And those are going to be Christians that do that, or so called. All in this body are under my headship, not by command, it's by your advantage. Not by my command, but by your advantage. Therefore, under my covering, which is Jesus. See, this is the best part. If you're under the headship of this church, and I am under the headship of Jesus Christ, you are under that headship. Which that's all I would recommend that any of you want, is the covering of Jesus Christ, not mine. Right? Okay. What are you saying, Stan? I'm saying, this young lady here, this one right here, if she wants my covering, she has her father's covering, I know that, but if she wants the covering of the church, she's got it. It has to be her want, but she's got it, which moves her into a position of she can praise and worship, she can lead praise and worship. She can minister, she can pray mightily, as long as she's taking the correction of the church and the direction of the church, the covering of the church. And she can move with authority that you've never moved in before. But it has to get in here. You have to know you're covered. And that applies to every man and woman and child in this place. There is no blockage with that understanding. Have I bent the Scripture any? Okay, with that understanding then, you can answer wisely and correctly why you can be stand up here and minister through the for the praise and worship team, or as the leader of the praise and worship team. It answers the question why you can teach a Sunday school class. Right? It answers it. It answers it honestly. No loopholes. We're not looking for loopholes. We're looking for truth. You know what else it answers? It answers the question why a brand new, dumb, ignorant, born-again man can begin to minister mightily. It answers so many questions if you will keep this in your mind. If you'll let God speak to you about this Scripture, just remember it. From now on, I want you to remember this, that when it says that Jesus is the head of man, man is head of the woman, there's absolutely no negative part of this Scripture. Not one negative statement in this Scripture. And it cannot be used against women if they're under proper authority and headship. Come on, women, you ought to be getting a little more excited about that. Because it takes out all the loopholes that have been trying to been laid on you. Those laws that try to hold you down. For your information, I'm not looking for a cult. I'm not looking for a concubine. I'm not looking for a harem. No, my name is not Jim Jones. Not Jim Jones. And by the way, I'll say it this way so you'll understand. My wife operates under my covering. Anybody in here that knows my wife knows she's capable of making decisions and going for it. She doesn't have to run every little thought process she has through me. Because she trusts me and I trust her. I'm as suspicious of her as Jesus is of me. Now, the only loophole there is if I'm not being honest or she's not being honest. Then, by the way, if she's not, God will tell me. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to send out the private detectives. Amen. Right? Let me say one more thing. I am not the exposer. God is. It says that everything that's been done in secret will be revealed. Right? So bank on it. When you're trying to make an end run on somebody or something, it will be revealed. You be honest and God will be your covering. You be dishonest and you will be exposed. That's what the Bible says. And thank God for that. That keeps us in order, right? All righty. Anybody get anything out of this?
Yes.
Praise God. I've always been portrayed as a male chauvinist pig. And I don't know how anybody could look at my wife and call me that. Well, they might look at her and call, but I mean, if they get to know her, that's bullcorn. You're so far off, you're just way off. That's all I can tell you. But I've never been able to explain it like I explained it right now because God just gave me the understanding of that so I could do that. That's right. And I could, you know why? Oh, this is good. You know why he gave me the explanation? Because of problems. There's been someone in the body that's decided just to destroy somebody. And there's been questions come from that I don't know that I knew the answers until yesterday and today. I didn't have the answers for them. I've been asked questions that I didn't have total answers for. Now, got the answer. I got the answer. I just gave it to you. Amen. Imitate Christ. That applies to everybody in here. You imitate Christ and you're covered. Now that's spiritually speaking. Legally speaking, get into a church and you'll be covered. Now I'm going to be bold and honest with you. I do not believe that people are offered a covering for very long when they refuse to go to church. And the reason is not so they can come and tithe. The reason is because everybody in here has something to offer someone else.
Right.
And you rob the body when you don't come.
Right.
And besides that, I'll run into some problems that I have to search God, and He has to give me some more answers.
Right.
And that's cool. I'm smarter today than I was yesterday. It's because some of you are in pain. You know what? Sometimes I feel like that. I feel like that, you know, have your kids come up to you and ask you questions, you made you feel dumb. I mean, they ask you questions. Thank you. I appreciate it. All right. All hearts clear? All hearts clear? I hope they're clearer than when you came in. They're clearer now than when you came in. I hope you feel more bold, more energized, more open, more honest, more free. That would be Jesus. Amen? Please, get the tape to your husband and everybody else that has sons, daughters, whatever. This is a very good explanation of how God works. Help them out. If you know somebody that's having marital problems, and I'm not referring to them, I'm just saying, he missed today. I want him to hear the message. I'm so sorrowful when somebody that's trying to be a part of the body doesn't come, because I feel like every Sunday there's some truth revealed and they miss out on that truth. So those tapes are important. That's not saying that Kevin needs to hear this. I'm not saying that. If you've got a husband that's not here, get him in a car, take him on a long trip, plug it in, make him listen to it. If he tries to go to sleep, whack him. If you don't have a husband or your husband's beyond hope, don't go nowhere with him. Let God handle it. Leave it alone. Don't touch it. If you see somebody in trouble, either reach out to help or don't touch. Reach out to help or don't touch. You don't have to have the understanding. You don't have to understand what the whole situation's about. Just reach out to help or do not get involved. Amen? Stand with me. Please remember October the 9th for Steve and Julie's thing. By the way, a lot hinges on that, because if their settlement comes, they put out a massive amount of money on some medical expenses. If that settlement is made, they get off the truck. They get off the truck. They're out of debt. And he's looking for, believe me, when he comes dragging his carcass in here with 4,000 miles in a week or whatever, you know, and they have to stop because the logs are full. That's what happened last Wednesday when he was here. He couldn't even drive his truck one more mile. It would be illegal for him to do that. And his company would know it. He'd be pulled over. Believe me, and Julie, his wife, sitting back there in that sleeper, changing clothes, washing in the truck stops. And you understand what I'm saying? He's not doing this because he likes the road. He's doing this to make money. When the bills are paid, well, he's off of it. So pray that that's settled. Pray for us on the trip, because I don't want it to just be a trip. I'd love to run into hardcore ministry. I just kind of look out there and it's like looking at chocolate bars. You just lick your chops, you know? So let's go. Let's get it on. Praise the Lord. All right, if all hearts are clear, remember us in prayer as we go and come. Anybody else? Remember the food ministry, because it is growing. And we not only need more people, we need more people to give to. Isn't that strange? That's what I want us to happen to our finances. I want our finances to get strong. We have to pray to God to get rid of some of it. And that's not beyond God, believe me. I want you to pray about the children's ministry and about teaching classes and about the things that are to come, the growth that's to come. Pray and see how God would use you and how you can be used. Father, we love you with all of our hearts. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for the revelation. And we must say thank you for the problems, for the answers. We wouldn't even be asking the questions if we'd never recognized the problem. Thank you for the answer. Thank you for the resolution of the problem by you and you only. Lord, we love you. We trust you. Be to us what we need so that we can be to others as you are to us. What a challenge. What a challenge. We love you, Lord. Use us this week. Keep us out of fights and squabbles, and help us to keep your mind. And then use your mind when we're in the fights and squabbles. Lord, you know the health needs that are represented in this very building. You know the ones that we have on our hearts. You know where I need to be touched, and you know where everybody in here needs to be touched. We ask you for that healing hand right now.
By your bruises, by your stripes, we are healed. Now we ask you for the reminder of that, and we ask you for the courage in the face of every problem. We say, I shall live and not die. I walk in health as my husband does. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. He restores my soul. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Cause me to be a leader and a restorer also, and everybody in this place. Use this word to establish and further the kingdom. Bless and anoint and reveal the blessings and the anointing so that we can give you more praise continuously. We ask you and thank you for these things in advance, knowing they're already done. In Jesus' name, amen.